It's one of those assumptions we almost never question. If someone believes in God or adheres to a strict religious code, we tend to instinctively file them under good person, or at the very least, we assume they're trying to be.
Right, we conflate the two. We see belief as a badge of moral character.
But then you hear a statement like this: even the devil believes in God. And suddenly, that safe little equation, belief equals goodness, just falls apart. Because if belief is just acknowledging a reality, then belief isn't a virtue. It's just data.
It's awareness. It's not alignment.
Exactly. So today, we are stripping that equation down to the studs. We're talking about the difference between knowing the light exists and actually walking toward it. We're asking, if belief doesn't make you good, what actually does?
I'm Chloe, and this is Deep Dive.
And I'm Alex. Let's get into it.
Okay, Alex, I want to start with that specific line from the user's prompt because it's such a heavy hitter. The devil believes in God. Historically and theologically, this is actually a pretty profound point, isn't it? It's not just a clever quip.
No, not at all. It's actually a cornerstone of a lot of theological thought, particularly in the letter of James in the New Testament. There's this verse, James 2:19, that says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder."
They shudder.
Right. The implication there is terrifyingly simple. The demons, or the devil in the prompt's example, have perfect theological accuracy. They aren't atheists. They know exactly who God is. They have the information, but they remain the embodiment of evil. So if your definition of a good person is just someone who signs off on a list of correct doctrines, you have to include the devil in that group.
Which is obviously absurd, but it forces us to decouple these two ideas we've welded together. If having the right belief doesn't fix your moral compass, then belief is essentially neutral. It's just a tool. It's like knowing gravity exists doesn't prevent you from pushing someone off a ledge.
That's a perfect analogy. Awareness of gravity is just a fact about physics. It doesn't tell you how to interact with it. The prompt argues that belief is merely awareness. It's the map, not the journey. The theological concept here is often distinguished as assensus versus fiducia.
Okay, break that down for us. No Latin without a translation.
Fair enough. Assensus is intellectual assent. It's agreeing that a statement is true. The sky is blue. God exists. The devil has assensus. But fiducia is trust, reliance, and essentially, alignment of the will. That's the missing piece. The prompt says goodness is a direction. It implies movement.
I love that phrasing. Goodness is a direction. It feels much more active. But let's play devil's advocate for a second here, pun intended. Doesn't belief usually provide the framework for that direction? If I don't believe in a moral structure or a higher power, where am I getting my direction from? Can you have that movement without the map?
That's the classic philosophical debate, isn't it? The moral argument for God suggests we need a divine lawgiver to have objective morals. But looking at sociological data, the connection isn't as linear as we think. There was a study published in Current Biology a few years back that looked at altruism in children. It found that children from non-religious households were actually slightly more generous in sharing stickers than children from religious households.
Wait, really? The non-religious kids were more generous?
In that specific study context, yes. Now, that's not to bash religious kids, but it highlights that the instinct for goodness, for sharing, for empathy, isn't solely the property of religious belief. It suggests that goodness might be something more primal, or perhaps more about practice than theory.
It sounds like we're talking about the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. If I'm good because I believe a cosmic authority is watching me, which is part of that belief structure, is that actual goodness, or is that just compliance? The prompt mentions, goodness begins in the quiet choices we make when no one is watching.
That is the crucial distinction. If your goodness is performative, done for the reward of heaven or the fear of hell, philosophers like Immanuel Kant would argue it lacks true moral worth. Kant believed in the categorical imperative, doing good simply because it is good, not because of the consequences. The prompt aligns with this. It says goodness isn't found in prayers spoken loudly. It's rejecting the public performance of virtue.
This reminds me of the psychological concept of moral licensing. Have you heard of this?
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating and dangerous.
For the listeners, moral licensing is this phenomenon where doing something good makes you feel entitled to do something bad later. Like, I went to the gym, so I can eat this whole cake.
Right, and in this context, it manifests as, I believe the right things, I go to the right building on Sundays, therefore I am a good person. That belief becomes a license. It creates a buffer where you stop scrutinizing your own actions because you've already labeled yourself as good.
That is scary. It's like the belief inoculates you against self-reflection. The prompt says, faith without transformation is an empty echo. If you're using your faith as a status symbol rather than a transformation engine, you're just stagnant.
And history is littered with examples of this. We have to look at the Crusades or the Inquisition. These were perpetrated by people who had absolute, unshakable belief. Their awareness of God was intense, but their alignment with goodness, with compassion, mercy, nonviolence, was completely severed. They used the belief to justify the evil.
So let's pivot to the how. If belief is just the starting line, or maybe not even necessary for the race, what does the direction of goodness actually look like? The prompt uses the phrase, walking toward the light. That sounds poetic, but what is it technically?
Technically, we're talking about character formation. Aristotle called this virtue ethics. It's the idea that you aren't good because of what you know, but because of what you do repeatedly. You become just by doing just acts. You become brave by doing brave acts. It's muscle memory for the soul.
Muscle memory is a great way to put it. It requires repetition. You don't get fit by believing in the gym. You have to actually lift the weight.
Precisely, and the weight here is often uncomfortable. The prompt mentions compassion carried silently. True compassion usually costs you something. It costs your time, your resources, your ego. If belief is passive, just sitting in a pew or nodding at a sermon, it costs very little. Goodness is expensive.
I want to dig into the flip side the prompt mentions. Disbelief does not make you evil. We see this tension in modern culture wars constantly. There is a deep-seated suspicion in many religious communities that atheists have no reason not to murder people.
Which is a fascinating anxiety. It implies that the only thing keeping the religious person from murdering people is the rule book. But if we look at secular humanism, we see a robust framework for goodness that has nothing to do with the supernatural. It's based on empathy and the recognition of shared human dignity. If I treat you well because I recognize you are a conscious being capable of suffering just like me, isn't that a more direct form of goodness than treating you well because a deity told me to?
It feels more authentic, certainly. But let's look at the nuance here. Are we saying belief is useless? Because for billions of people, that belief is the fuel. It's the caffeine that gets them up to do the good works. The civil rights movement, for example. Dr. King's work was inextricably linked to his theology.
That is a vital correction. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. For King, and for figures like Dietrich Bonhoeffer resisting the Nazis, belief wasn't just awareness. It was the engine of their alignment. Their belief dictated that injustice was an affront to the cosmic order. In that case, belief and goodness were perfectly synced. The belief provided the stamina to face water cannons and dogs.
So the distinction isn't that belief is bad, but that it's insufficient on its own. It's a potential energy, not kinetic.
Exactly. Kinetic energy is mass in motion. Goodness is belief in motion. If it stays in your head, it's just philosophy. Once it moves your hands, it becomes virtue.
Let's talk about the devil archetype again, because it's such a rich symbol here. In literature, like Milton's Paradise Lost, Satan is depicted as incredibly intelligent. He's not a brute beast. He's a sophisticated thinker. Why do we associate intelligence and knowledge with evil so often in stories?
That's a deep cultural trope. We fear the evil genius. I think it speaks to this exact anxiety, that you can be brilliant, you can know everything, you can understand the mechanics of the universe, like Oppenheimer building the bomb, and still produce destruction. It reinforces the idea that intellect, and belief as a function of intellect, is distinct from wisdom or morality. Knowledge is power, but power isn't inherently good.
It's the difference between IQ and EQ, or maybe MQ, moral quotient. The prompt says, goodness is not a claim, it is a direction. I keep coming back to that.
It implies that you never actually arrive. You don't get to say, okay, I'm good now, I'm done.
No, you don't. And that's the trap of religious certainty. If you think you've arrived because you're saved or enlightened, you stop moving. You stop the directional flow. The most dangerous people are often the ones who believe they have already achieved righteousness. Because once you think you're perfect, you can justify anything you do to those who aren't.
There's a humility in the direction model. It admits, I might not be there yet, but I'm walking that way. It allows for failure.
It does, and it democratizes goodness. It means the atheist who is striving to be more patient with their kids and the devout believer serving in a soup kitchen are on the same path. Even if they're reading different maps, they are both walking toward the light.
But what about the person who thinks they are walking toward the light, but is actually causing harm? We see this with extremism. They believe their direction is good. How do we reconcile that with the idea of intention?
That is the hardest question. Sincerity isn't a guarantee of goodness either. You can be sincerely wrong. This is where the impact part of the equation comes in. The prompt emphasizes compassion carried silently. Compassion is externally focused. It requires looking at the other. If your goodness involves hurting others to prove a point or defend a doctrine, it fails the compassion test. The fruit of the action matters. As the biblical phrase goes, by their fruits ye shall know them, not by their beliefs.
So the metric is external. It's not how you feel inside, it's the wake you leave behind you in the world.
Right. Are people safer, more whole, and more respected in your presence? Or are they judged, belittled, and harmed? The devil, in the prompt's example, might know God, but his wake is destruction. That's the disconnect.
It's interesting to think about how this applies to our modern secular lives, too. We have our own secular beliefs, belief in democracy, belief in science, belief in justice. But this posting a black square on Instagram or retweeting a science article, that's just a census again, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. We have secular versions of faith without works. We have slacktivism. We signal our belief in climate change, but do we change our consumption habits? We signal our belief in racial justice, but do we change who we hire? It's the exact same mechanism. We mistake acknowledging the problem for solving it. We mistake having the correct opinion for being a virtuous person.
That stings a little. It's easy to point fingers at religious hypocrisy, but we do it with our political and social tribes constantly. We think, I voted for the right person, so I'm good, but I haven't helped my neighbor carry their groceries in 3 years.
Exactly. The prompt is a universal critique. Belief is awareness, not alignment. That applies to politics, diet culture, environmentalism, everything. Knowing kale is good for you doesn't make you healthy. You have to eat the kale.
So if we strip away the label, religious, atheist, political, what is the core component of this alignment? If you had to boil it down.
I think it comes down to the suppression of the ego in service of the other. Whether you call that submission to God or humanist altruism, the mechanic is the same. It's decentering yourself. The devil is the ultimate egoist. He wants to be God. He has the knowledge, but he refuses the submission. Goodness seems to require a surrender of the self.
That's a powerful way to frame it. It's not about what you mentally grasp. It's about what you are willing to let go of.
And that's why it's so hard. Belief is easy. Transformation is excruciating. It requires a death of the old self. That's the empty echo the prompt warns about. If the echo doesn't change the shape of the room, it's just noise.
This leads us to a really practical takeaway. If we stop judging ourselves and others by what we say we believe, what should we be looking for instead? How do we spot goodness in the wild?
Look for consistency in the small things. The prompt mentions choices we make when no one is watching. You look for how someone treats the waiter, not the CEO. You look for what they do when they make a mistake. Do they rationalize it or do they own it? Goodness isn't a grand gesture. It's a texture of life. It's the grain of the wood, not the paint on top.
The grain, not the paint. I like that. The paint can be chipped away, but the grain goes all the way through.
And remember, alignment is a constant process. You have to keep aligning. It's like steering a ship. You don't just set the wheel once and walk away. The waves, life, ego, temptation, are constantly knocking you off course. You have to keep correcting. You have to keep choosing the direction.
So to wrap this up, the big idea here is that we need to be suspicious of our own beliefs as a metric for our worth. Just because I know the truth doesn't mean I'm living it.
Right.
Don't mistake the menu for the meal. Don't mistake the map for the territory. And certainly don't mistake believing in the light for actually being warm.
That image of the devil believing and shuddering, it's going to stick with me. It's a reminder that information without integration is just haunted.
Haunted is the perfect word. It's a ghost of potential.
Alex, this has been a convicting conversation. It kind of makes you want to stop talking and go actually do something good.
That would be the ultimate success of this episode, wouldn't it?
It would. Thanks for breaking this down with me.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this exploration of belief and goodness. We hope it sparks some interesting conversations and maybe a few quiet choices in your own life. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Alex.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive.